beloved in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Deep breath. It's the second week of Advent. The first full week of December is behind us. How you feeling? I ask because if there's ever a season dedicated to preparing, this is it. A couple of weeks ago, many of us were getting ready for Thanksgiving. Travel plans, food prep, cleaning the house before family arrived. Maybe that was just us, I don't know. And now we are looking straight towards Christmas. I don't want anyone to panic, but it's only 18 days away. Missy and I have been doing our share of preparing too. As I mentioned last week, we're still waiting, hoping for our bathroom to be finished. This Wednesday, we'll actually receive the finishing touches from our contractor. Yay! On top of that, last week, I found myself preparing for something entirely unexpected. A new water heater. Not because I wanted one, but because the old one started leaking. So I got everything ready for delivery. I mean, they send you a list, like 5, 6, 7 things you have to do, and I checked all of them off. And just when I thought I had done all the preparing I could possibly do, I got a call from the delivery company, and they told me that because of the recent snow, they would only deliver if there was a clear path to the house. Otherwise, they'd have to reschedule. So there I was, outside again, shoveling another path. I made a trip to the store to get more ice melt because I had no idea what counted as clear in their mind. More preparation, always more preparation. And it struck me as I pushed the snow around that preparation is rarely as simple or as tidy as we imagine. We think we've done enough. And that everything is ready. And then life hands us another path to clear. Advent is exactly like that. It's a season that invites us not just to prepare for a day on the calendar, but to prepare our lives, our hearts, our paths for the one who is coming. Which brings us straight into our scriptures today. Isaiah's vision, John's challenge, Paul's encouragement, and our own Advent prayer. O Emmanuel, enlighten our path with your perpetual light. So this is going to be a participation as we prepare. As you hear me say, O Emmanuel, during this sermon, I would invite you to say, enlighten our path with your perpetual light. Our call to worship opens with these words. At every beginning, there is a yearning for the one who is coming. O Emmanuel, enlighten our paths with your perpetual light. You're on it, all right. Advent always begins with yearning, a yearning for things to be different, a yearning for light to crack open our darkness, a yearning for peace, real peace, a yearning for justice, for wrong things to be made right. We gather in December with candles in our hands and a longing in our hearts. And today's scripture, all of them lean into that longing. They refuse to pretend everything is fine. They look toward a world we know is possible, but haven't yet seen. And they ask us to do the one thing Advent requires, prepare. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our community, prepare our world, prepare our lives for the coming of Jesus, the one who is light, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah begins the conversation today with a stump. Israel has been cut down politically, spiritually, morally, socially, like a storm had swept through and only the stump remains. Maybe you have felt that way. Maybe parts of our congregation have felt that way. Maybe our world feels that way. But Isaiah says, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. Life growing from what looks dead, hope sprouting from hopelessness, a future coming from what we were sure has ended. This ruler, this promised Messiah, comes filled with the Spirit, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and awe. And he will rule differently. He will not judge by appearances. He will defend the poor. He will lift up the oppressed. He will wear righteousness like a belt and faithfulness like clothing. And then Isaiah gives us one of Scripture's most stunning visions. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And a small child will lead them. This is not a sweet picture for a Christmas card, though it could be and probably has been. But this image is God's declaring. In God's kingdom, everything that seemed impossible will be possible. The predator and the prey, the powerful and the vulnerable, the ones who have always been enemies, all will be reconciled. Isaiah is not describing nature. He's describing us. The human relationships healed, violence undone, fear replaced with trust, enemies turned into friends. So when we answer in our call to worship, we wait for the day when natural-born enemies turn into newborn friends. O Emmanuel, enlighten our path with your perpetual light. Isaiah is the one who first gave us that hope. Psalm 72 takes Isaiah's dream and turns it into a prayer. Give the king your justice. May he judge your people with righteousness and the poor with justice. This Advent prayer is a reminder that God's justice is never abstract. It isn't political theory. It isn't philosophical pondering. God's justice shows up where people are hurting. The psalmist prays for a leader who defends the cause of the poor, delivers the needy, crushes the oppressor. Why? Because God's justice is always biased, not towards the powerful, but towards the vulnerable. When the psalmist says something, then the psalmist says something beautiful. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass. Rain doesn't lecture the grass. Rain doesn't ask if the grass deserves it. Rain just falls freely, abundantly, healingly. God's justice, God's peace, God's presence, they fall upon us like rain. And when they do, righteousness begins to grow again. Hope begins to grow again. A community begins to grow again. And Paul, writing to the Romans, brings Isaiah's dream forward by saying this: whatever is written was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope is not a naive optimism. It's not wishful thinking. Hope is what happens when we remember God's promises and trust God's character to bring them forward. So Paul gives the church one clear way to live out Isaiah's vision right now. Welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you. In other words, if Isaiah gives us the dream and the psalm gives us the prayer, Paul gives us the practice. Welcome each other. Welcome the stranger. Welcome the newcomer. Welcome the long-timer. Welcome the one who is hard to welcome. Welcome the one who feels outside the circle. Welcome the one God has already welcomed. O Emmanuel, enlighten our paths with your perpetual light. Paul insists that God's promises were never for one group alone. They were always meant to reach the whole world. The Gentiles will hope in him, he says. The nations will see the root of Jesse and say, yes, that's where our hope belongs. And then Paul offers one of the most beautiful blessings in the Bible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is Advent. This is our prayer. This is our longing. This is why we light candles in the dark. Oh, Emmanuel, enlighten our paths with your perpetual light. And then into all this beauty marches John the Baptist. He doesn't bring gentle rain. He brings a bit of fire with him. He does not show up dressed for Christmas, that's for sure. He shows up in camel's hair, eating locusts, yelling in the desert. John's message is simple and sharp. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. Not feel guilty. Not punish yourself. Not try harder. Repent. Repent means turn around. Change direction. Walk a new path. Why? Because Jesus is coming, and we do not want to miss him because we are walking in the wrong direction. John isn't scolding. He's inviting. Inviting us to get real. Inviting us to open our lives so that Jesus can work in us. Inviting us to clear out the clutter, the fear, the resentment, the pride, the assumptions, the old grudges, the old stories, so that Christ can have room to live within our hearts. This is exactly what our call to worship asked. We get ready for God to come close by laying our lives open to Jesus, asking him to sort through all our mixed motives. John the Baptist doesn't come to frighten us. He comes to free us, to make space for the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, the one who will refine us, empower us, enlighten us with his perpetual light. Oh, Emmanuel, enlighten us with your perpetual light. So what do these scriptures mean to us here, OSLC, Purdue Lutheran Ministries, in West Lafayette, in December 2025? We are a congregation who has been dreaming. We have been discerning our future. We have been praying about the use of our property, our mission, our identity, our ministry in this community. We are people who know something about stumps. Sometimes when things felt cut down, uncertain, and fragile, and yet every step of the way, a shoot has appeared. New relationships, new clarity, new energy, new possibilities, new ministries, new hope. That's what Advent teaches us. God delights in working with stumps. God loves surprising us with shoots of new life. God is always out ahead of us, already preparing the path, already lighting the way. And so today's scripture invites us to ask, where is the stump in your life from which God is ready to grow something new? Let me say that again. Where is the stump in your life from which God is ready to grow something new? Where is reconciliation possible? Where is welcome needed? Where is peace aching to break in? Where is your life ready for the gentle reign of God's justice? And where do you need to repent, not as a punishment, but as a possibility? And as a church, where do we hear God, where do we hear Isaiah's dream pushing us forward? Where do we hear John calling us to clarity and courage? Where do we hear Paul urging us to welcome? Where do we feel the Spirit nudging us towards hope? The call to worship named our longing. O Emmanuel, enlighten our path with your perpetual light. This is the heart of Advent. We are not asking God for a flashlight or a map so we can navigate on our own. We are asking Emmanuel, the God who comes close enough to walk with us on the path together. We light two candles today, not because the world is bright, but because the world is dark. And we need every flicker of hope that we can get. These small flames say, darkness does not get the last word. They say, Christ is coming. They say, Christ's peace is possible. They say, a different world is possible. They say, we are part of God's healing work. And so on this second Sunday of Advent, we dare to pray, to hope, to act. O Emmanuel, enlighten our path with your perpetual light. Beloveds, Advent is not about pretending, it's about preparing. It's about turning towards the light that is already shining. It is about opening ourselves to the God who is always doing a new thing. It's about joining Isaiah's dream, the psalmist's prayer, Paul's welcome, and John's call to repent, so that Christ may find us as a people ready to love. He came down so that we may have light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. O Emmanuel, enlighten our paths with your perpetual light. Amen.